8, Luke chapter 8. Very familiar parable, very familiar illustration. A parable is an illustration come alongside existing truth. So let's read this. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 15. Last week, you know, if there's a song, "When I Christ Be All," it almost mirrors what the characteristics of this woman that was forgiven much, she loved much. The spirit that we talked about this woman last week, it's in that song, "Christ Be All." What a great song, what a great song. Let's read Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass afterward." After Jesus just looked at this woman that was a woman that likely just nobody wanted to be, but he loved her, she had turned to him in faith, and he forgave her sins. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." And so he had the 12 apostles, and here's who else. "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Let me just pause there. I'm not going to preach much on these three verses, but what you'll see is Jesus went everywhere, every city, he was every village preaching, and when he was preaching and showing the glad tidings, you know what the word for glad tidings would be? The gospel. The gospel. The word gospel means glad tidings, good message, good news. And so Jesus was preaching the good news. He had come, the Messiah was here, but he had some work to do. He had some work to do. And he was sharing with them, there's only one way of forgiveness, that's through him. And he was preaching that in every city, and the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Plus, the Bible mentions a number of women that would follow and minister unto him of their substance. Remember, Jesus, the Bible says, had no place to lay his head. Jesus was a Savior without a home. He traveled and he did not have a home of his own. And so these people that he healed greatly, which really would have represented from Luke chapter 7, like Mary Magdalene, she had 7 devils removed of her, and she knew what she was, knew what she was forgiven of, and so she loved much. She and other women, Joanna, Susanna, and just so many others, the Bible said, ministered unto him of their substance. They loved him, and they helped him, and so it's super interesting, right, that Jesus had a bunch of helpmeets that were helping him and ministering to him and encouraging him along the way. Now, verse 4. "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." Again, I want to tell you this, a parable, alongside, para, alongside. It's a story, an illustration, coming alongside existing truth. You never establish new teachings, new doctrine from a parable, but it is an illustration that Jesus is the great storyteller, right? So, verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." Here's the parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed." So a farmer. So for some of you that might not know, it's not like, you know, a sowing machine. He's sowing, planting seed. "A sower went out to sow," or to plant, "the seed," his seed. "And as he sowed, as he planted, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Verse 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he," Jesus, "said, Unto you," speaking to the 12, "unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Title of the message this morning, Causes of Being Fruitless. Causes of Being Fruitless. I preached this same parable was back in Matthew as well, but that's been a few years. But I love just different perspectives of these parables. And so I want to highlight for you what Jesus is saying in verse 10. The disciples came in verse 9 and said, what might this parable be? And they said, help us understand this parable. And so Jesus had just given verses 5 through 8, and he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the apostles came by and said, can you help us understand this? And Jesus said this, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, and then he says that, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. I want to help you understand this. We could go back to Matthew 13. I don't want to go into all that today. But Jesus was never blinding or deafening anyone from hearing or understanding the gospel. Okay, I want you to be clear about that. That's the devil's work. He's the one that blinds the hearts of men from the gospel. But Jesus spoke in parables, and he said the parables would help us understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In fact, the parables are for believers. And so understand, it's going to give us greater understanding, greater detail of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so he's not blinding anybody from the gospel, but part of it is, if you go back, we're not going to go back to Matthew 13, but it was this. He didn't want them to receive him as king on this earth yet. He wanted them to receive him as king of their heart. And so they tried a time or two to get him and exalt him to be king. They loved free fish and chips. They loved free health care. And they thought, this guy can do mighty works. Maybe he can overthrow the Romans. Their motives were wrong. He didn't want the people to receive him as earthly king. He wanted them to receive him as their spiritual king. And so he didn't describe everything about his kingdom because it would have then increased their desire to instantly put him as king. And you know what they wouldn't have cried out? Crucify him. Crucify him. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 that if the leaders, if the nobles would have understood the glory of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they would not have crucified him. So Jesus came and he was humble. He emptied himself of his glory, and they didn't fully grasp it. They would grasp the gospel only by the work of God and the Holy Spirit, but he didn't want them to grasp that he was going to be earthly king, just not yet. And so that's what he's doing there. But he says this, look at verse 10, this is my whole point. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Jesus gives parables that it's for believers. And so this message is for believers this morning. I want you to understand that. I tell people this all the time. In your Bible studies, you ought to ask people, is the Bible mainly written to Christians or the lost? You've heard me say this enough. It's mainly written to Christians, believers, right? Absolutely, no doubt about it. And so you can imagine that if you're a lost person and you just randomly open up the Bible talks about doing good, being good, doing good, being good, doing good all the time, right? But that's not the way to eternal life. We, as a believer, if you've truly turned from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will want to obey. Oh, you still have this flesh that'll kick and scream and fight and claw, and it's a battle until we go to the grave. But if you're a Christian, you want to do what's right. If you're a Christian, you want to honor Christ. If you're a Christian, Sin will bother you different than it ever did before. If you're a Christian, life is about doing things that'll honor Christ, that'll point people to Him. You know, Christ be all. I mean, what a great song. That is a fantastic song. You know how I get on kicks with songs? I feel like we could sing that every service and it would never get old. Christ be all. That's what it's about. Christ be all. Why did yesterday matter that we go to Glencoe Baptist Church? Because I want Christ to be glorified. I want to encourage them. Is Daniel your brother? Yeah, I thought he was your brother. I was just making sure before I said, Daniel, your brother. And you're like, no, he's not my brother. He's my cousin. But Daniel, your brother, you know what he said? He said, man, we are so encouraged that you came. He said, not just really the work that you did. It really wasn't the work. It was just the presence of other believers. And I love this. The average age was brought down a ton. We had a lot of our young adults come out. And I love that. I'm super encouraged with that. It was a great day. I didn't see anything. It was just enthusiasm. It was good. And it encouraged him more than the work. But now when they step back, they'll be like, wow, good thing we got a lot accomplished. But it was just being around other Christians. So I want you to understand that life is about honoring Christ. We've talked this before. You don't want to be a fruitless Christian. Now, there's four soils here. I've preached it from this perspective. I'm not going to do that this morning. The four soils here, there's the wayside, right? There's the wayside. So you have a farmer, and the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the same in every soil. Understand this. It's not that the Word of God was weak on the wayside soil and on the rocky soil and on the thorny soil. No, the Word of God is the same in all four soils. It's the same. It's the response of the people that were different, right? So you got a farmer, you know, and I mean, it's like, you know, he's casting seed, you know, and sowing seed, and some falls on the wayside, and we're gonna walk through this. So most believe, and I sort of lean this way, I think there could be two of the soils that are Christians. Most believe that three of the four soils are people that are lost. The ones that are saved, the Bible says, will bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. And so those by the wayside, let's walk through this real quick. Look at verse 11. I'll walk through, and this is just an overview, and then I'm going to get to my message. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 that His Word will not go out void. It won't go out empty. I'm not telling you what that will accomplish, but it will accomplish the purpose of God. And I am confident of that. It's better. That's why I read the Scriptures on Sunday night and Wednesday night. We have time of Scripture reading. The Word of God will not go out void, period. That's God's statement. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Every one of these soils, they hear. Every one of them can hear. They do hear. Period. They all hear. So he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil's fighting because he believes anybody can be saved. And he's there and he says, uh-oh, Randall shared the gospel with somebody. You can almost hear the wings flapping sometimes, right? And he'll swoop down and he's going to try to take the seed out of their heart, lest they would believe and be saved. The devil wants everybody to go to hell. The devil wants no one to trust in Jesus Christ. He hates the Lord and has since he fell. And so we can see clearly the seed on the wayside. These people are not saved. Now, verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Whoop, man, looks like they're a Christian. They have no root, which for a while believe. But the Bible speaks of those, it says, those that are mine will endure. Doesn't mean there won't be trouble. It doesn't mean there won't be toughness. Doesn't mean there won't be just great battles. Every believer will endure. That's Bible. I'm not saved because I endure. A result of Jesus saving me is I will continue and I will endure. I won't believe for a while and then not believe. You follow me? I may have a season where I'm struggling and I'm doubting and I'm wondering, and there could be terrible seasons. But I'm telling you, a true believer will continue, a true believer will endure. And so that's what leads me to believe that this seed on the rock, while they receive it with joy, I don't think they're saved. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. The Bible uses the term in other of the Gospels that they become unfruitful. Interesting. Were they fruitful and they become unfruitful? I don't know. But they bring no fruit to perfection, right? And we're going to talk about this. This is the one that maybe it's someone that's saved. But I have no issues suggesting that this person is also not saved. They go forth, you see. They heard and they go forth and they're going to try to live it. Nope. Cares and riches and pleasures derail them. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in honest and good report, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I'm going to get through these. I have seven things of keys to fruitlessness. You want to have fruit, it's reproducing yourself. Again, what I tell you is this. I want you to make sure of this. The Bible uses this term, fruit to perfection. Ultimate fruit is that you will see people saved. But there's other fruit. Are you impacting people for the kingdom of God? Are you planting seed? Some water, some plant, God gives the increase. So I want you to understand, you're not always going to see the fruit to perfection. But there will be fruit to perfection, you just don't always see it. But are you making a difference for the kingdom of God? That is fruit, and ultimately, there's going to be different levels of fruitfulness, right? It's talking about, it doesn't talk here, it's in Matthew 13. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It's not a competition. It's not. It's just the blessings of God, but you should be making a difference. So I want you to walk through this. Keys to fruitlessness. Failure to truly listen. Look at verse 12. Failure to truly listen. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Did you notice in verse 8, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? I've talked about this before. I've seen so many complicated explanations of he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know this? How many of you do not have ears this morning? Okay, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Every single person in this room. And I want to tell you, there's a connotation here that's talking about not just hearing, but listening. And so my wife and every husband in here, maybe not every husband, I don't even know if I heard. You know, we've got Cliff. So Friday night was Women of the Word. And she reminded me, she goes, you've got Cliff tonight. And I'm like, all right, I've got Cliff tonight. And Cliff is an awesome baby until he's hungry. And then he brings out a machete and says, if you don't feed me, I'm going to kill you. I mean, he can go from the... He has a beautiful smile. And I'll tell you, hateful, man. Hateful when that guy's hungry. So she gave me all these instructions, right? You know, I mean, I have different stations, you know, and he only handles one for this 12 minutes, and now I'm timing it, you know, and hey, Cliff, how we doing? And upside down work. No, I didn't do that. And so she, you know, I had to feed him, right? Had to feed him. It's been a long time. So she was instructing me how to crook and all this, you know. I know, it's like over instruction. So I was like, I don't know what I didn't hear. But I didn't hear one key thing. She made the bottle for Cliff, and it was in the refrigerator. Well, in the door. Who looks in the door of a refrigerator? So I open the refrigerator, and there's this glass dish there, and it has, you know, Emily, our daughter-in-law, they're out west, and so she had made, like, you know, 72 years of her milk in a bag, right? You should see our freezer, but it's only going to last like a week. It's like that kid, man, he's like, I want more. I hate you. And so I saw this thing in this glass bowl, and I'm like, I guess I have to get the bottle ready. The glass bowl was apparently, I don't even know why it was the glass bowl was there. I haven't even talked to you about that. But the glass bowl had a little bag in it, and I knew this thing sitting in the sink, turn the hot water on, you know, let it warm up the milk in the bag, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm holding Cliff, I'm doing this, and I'm impressed. I'm like, I haven't dropped you, bud. You don't know how blessed you are. And so we're warming up this thing, you know, and I got the bottle there. And so I had to switch arms. I mean, I know, because you're like, I have to pour this thing from this bag, right, into the bottle. And I did it and didn't spill it. I didn't notice how much. I do remember vaguely he drinks 8 ounces before he goes to bed. Apparently this was only 4. And Cliff noticed. I didn't. And so, you know, he was falling asleep. And I'd be like, hey. You know, he'd wake up and it was like he was struggling to finish however many ounces were in this, you know. And so then it's like, all right. I tried everything and he is fussy. And I'm like, all right, bud. You must be telling me you want to go to bed. Well, what he was telling me was, you haven't fed me enough, you idiot. Right? So I laid him down, and I said, oh, he cried when I laid him down. I hope Josh and Emily aren't watching this. And she said, how long did he cry? I said, a good while. I said, but I figured if I'd go in there, he'd cry longer. I was just worried, you know, he might have gone number 2, right? Because he has a little diaper rash. But thankfully, when she got home, and he woke up about 11. Normally never wakes up in the middle of the night, but he woke up because she opened the refrigerator door. This is what a woman does, right? I mean, she'll come home and she'll be like, what is this in the refrigerator for? And I'm like, I was looking for that. And I'm like, oh, didn't need it. I used the bag and the bowl. And she's like, that only had 4 ounces. I specifically told you. He that hath ears to hear, let him listen. I dread the next time I have Cliff, I'm going to be overly instructed by, like, you know, it's going to be like typed out, double space. But it would have been good for me, good for Cliff, and then good for me when Deb got home that I had just listened. So you can hear me preach all the time. Are you listening? You can discount me and say, it's not worth listening to. But I want you to understand, we need to heed and listen to God. I just want to give you a couple scriptures with this thought right here. Malachi 2:2. Malachi 2:1, I didn't want to highlight it, but this is written to preachers. It's written to priests. Malachi 2:2. The Lord says this, if you will not hear me, O preacher, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you lay it not to heart. God's like, hey, if you won't hear, if you won't listen to me, there's great accountability for preachers. There's great accountability when you are in front of people. Am I taking it to heart? Now, then I'll bring it back to you. This is to everyone. The Lord's talking to Israel. And the Lord has sent unto all his servants the prophets. He sent them the prophets. They rose early, sending them. But you have not hearkened. You haven't listened. Nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, here's what the prophet said. Turn ye again, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after gods to serve them and to worship them, to provoke me not to anger within the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened or listened. You have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. First reason we're fruitless, we don't listen. You're familiar with my voice. You're familiar with my style. Ask the Lord, God, help me to listen. Help me to hear. Don't just discount because you're irritated with me. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let God speak to you, and are you listening? Fruitlessness, we don't listen. Second, the devil. Look with me, if you will, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, they heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I want you to see just a few verses. I could have gone on and on. Ephesians 4 deals with anger. He says, be angry and sin not. What that means is when anger comes on you, don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Here's what the Bible would indicate. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You get angry, you're given an avenue into your life to the devil. I believe there's no place for anger with the believer. Now you say the Bible says be angry. It's talking about when anger comes upon you, because just four verses later it says, put away all wrath and anger and evil speaking. Put it all away. Psalm 78 says, cease from anger. God can be angry because he's God and he can righteously be angry. You and I can't. You want to give place to the devil? Let anger overtake you. You want to have the devil have a wedge into your life? Then be a person of anger. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, another avenue for the devil is a lack of forgiveness. Paul, this is super interesting. You have to go back and study this. This is likely Paul addressing their forgiveness of this man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember the horrible story about this man that was inappropriately with his stepmother? Wicked. He said, it's not named among the Gentiles. It looks like this man repented and was restored unto them. And Paul says, to whom you forgive anything, I will forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. And if I didn't forgive, here's what the point is, lest, if I don't do that, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You want to hold bitterness? You want to hold unforgiveness in your heart? You're given an avenue for the devil. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching this because if we don't listen, expect it to impact your fruit. If we, just these two things, angry, we don't forgive, hold bitterness, expect it to affect our fruit. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. Are you just giving in? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, we don't submit ourselves to the Lord. If you don't submit yourselves to the Lord, you know what the inference is? Who are you submitting yourselves to? The devil. Expect it to affect your fruit. You know, I didn't put it up on the screen, but the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, very familiar, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. The devil's super worried about people being saved. The devil is just up all night worried about people being saved, and he wants to derail you, he wants to discourage you, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's anger, whether it's sin, whatever it might be. It affects our fruitfulness. Third thing I want you to see is shallow emotional response, no depth. Look at verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. The word joy is happiness. That's a good thing. We ought to receive the word with joy, but this is fleeting joy. This is just, it feels good. I'm excited today. I don't preach to get an emotional response from you today. I want you to have a response that says, Christ is worthy. I'll commit to him, and I want to follow him every day of my life. And so, look at this verse 13. They receive the word with joy, and these have no root. See, Christ will be our root for those that are saved. Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. I want you just to see a couple things with shallow emotional response. I think you should be excited about Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things I loved about yesterday, it was good. It's good to be around young people. I asked Brother Lee today, are you sore? He says, I'm always sore. That encouraged me greatly. He said, I've been sore since, what date did you give me? 1996. He knows that, right? My knees are feeling so much better, but they're still sore. And you know what I think I've got to just come to the reality is? I'm always going to be sore. But it was good. Are you sore today, Grant? That's the right answer, because it's good. You sore today, Damaris? Of course not, you young puke. But it was so delightful just to have young people around and just positive, and I don't know what game they were playing on the way back, but I sure got their attention and a quick stop on the highway. And it was so good. I had no idea what they were doing, just hearing them laugh and enjoy one another. You know, they were working and painting. And Maram, you're a tweener. Not quite sore yet, but you're close, right? So I'm not putting you in there. So Maram, Nassim, I'm sorry. You sore already? But it's good. There was joy in the house yesterday. We ought to enjoy the Lord. It ought to be who we are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But it ought not just to be this fake, short-term thing. Happy now, sad now. The joy of the Lord is lasting. I want to just show you just a couple verses here real quick on this thought. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye him, rooted. See, there was no root in them. Rooted and built up in him. We ought to find our root, our strength in Christ. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We ought to be rooted in Christ. Young believers, we need to help them. Anthony, you know what you are? A baby. You're like, you know, I know how to warm spiritual bottles better than I do real baby bottles. Spiritual baby, you haven't been saved that long, right? I want to help you. I want you to be rooted in Christ. I want you to have the joy of the Lord, but I want you to be rooted in Christ because, look at this, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's the Word of God is where we get our strength, where we get our rooting, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to be grounded, you want to be settled, you want to grow in Christ, you want to be mature. It comes from His Word and then living it. Living it. And so, look, all of us, we struggle with fleeting emotions. But this is someone that doesn't look like they're saved. I'll give you one other reason I think the Lord gives us this parable. When you do the work of the Lord, you know, one of the most devastating things in the work of the Lord is for you to pour your heart into people and then them walk away. It's devastating. The Lord helps us understand not everybody that appears saved is saved. You know, love them anyway. It's devastating. It's almost more devastating than anything in the work of the Lord. Watch somebody that had joy of the Lord and then they're back in the world. Anthony, I want to help you. I want to help you have root, okay? I won't leave you. Maybe. But I'm not Christ. Hang in there with me. I'll help you. Let's grow together, all right? Let's have the joy of the Lord one day at a time, all right? It's in His Word. It's in His Word. Fourth reason I want you to see, failure to stand in time of temptation and testing. It's also in verse 13. These people that received it with joy, they had no root, which for a while and in time of temptation fall away. That word temptation there is used a lot in its translation, that same Greek word for testing. Time of testing. Time of testing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Look at this verse. This verse you're all familiar with, 1 Peter 2, 19 to 21. This is Christianity. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's good. That's what it's saying. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? Of course, you deserve it. But if... when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called. We were called to suffer patiently for doing good. We were called to this. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Let me tell you, it's this. Oh, Christian, you want to serve the Lord? How many of you? I'm just telling you. So, Kevin and Glow, I'm going to use you for example. You guys are trying to get things right with God, right? That's a good thing, right? Has trouble increased since you've thought, let's try to get our act together? Has it increased? 100%. You know what I wish? I didn't want to depress you on the first Bible study, but I'm like, trouble's coming. Amen. If you can take it patiently and honor Christ through it, that is well-pleasing unto Him. Because our Savior suffered wrongly and He did nothing wrong. You know what? We've got an enemy. We've got a greater king. But the enemy wants to discourage you and says, your life was better before you tried to do things that are right. Let's go back to easy street, right? Have those words passed through your mind? Why are we trying? You've been honored by God with trouble. And I've been praying that He'll honor you more with more trouble. I haven't. I'm just kidding. But understand this. We got to help one another. You see people not here today? Reach out to them. Love them. Not in a negative sense, but just say, I saw you haven't been here for a couple weeks, and I know you love the Lord. How can I encourage you? How can I love you? How can I help you? But there'll be some that Christianity's not worth it. I thought my life was supposed to get better. I thought my life was, it is onward and upward, but through the valley of tears. You see, people don't like that. People just want to be comfortable and have things that are easy, and so do I. I want you to be clear. Trouble, if we understand it, it's an honor. And so it's part of Christianity. This soil here, they had no root. Now I'm going to quickly go through these cares of this world. Look at this, cares of this world in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they had heard, they heard. They go forth and are choked with cares. I will tell you, we have forgotten. My wife is just dominated with one little boy. Whew. Let alone twins, and you got two others walking around. I mean, I think I saw Elodie yesterday. Did she have shorts on? You think so. You found her socks. Yeah, I think you should have found her shorts too. I'm not sure, but it is. They got home and they lived, right? Amen. I mean, it's like Moses and Caleb and one little baby. The cares of this world. See, what the Bible says is, you don't have to be in deep, dark sin. You can just get all sucked away in all the responsibilities of life and everything you have to do. Everything you have to do. I wish the grass would stop growing, so I don't have to keep mowing. But no, the dishes are there. I mean, I'll tell you, since I'm the dishwasher unloader at home, had Josh and Emily there, and it's like, what are you guys eating 3 plates per meal? What do we got here? And I'm complaining about emptying the dishwasher. Cares of this world, laundry, dishes, house, car breaks down, pay the bills, kids, church people, cares of this world. See, what we have to do is sometimes we have to leave the dishes. I love this. It's the Tilleries understood this way before their time. Althea, you're an awesome dishwasher, I'm assuming. Is that right? You're not. Well, we got some practice at our house. If you'd like to have an internship at our house, it'll save Grant from coming to washing them. Isabella, are you a great dishwasher? Are you guys doing your laundry yet? Of course, since you were five, right? But it is the cares of this world. Cares of this world. Stephen, what I appreciate about you is I tell people this all the time. You're one of the few guys that just, the little woman lives in a shoe, your shoe's full. And you're trying to serve the Lord, and that just means the house might not be as perfect. Everything in your life might not be perfect. You'll never regret that. I'm not saying, that we should be slobs. I'm not saying that, but I'll just say this. You guys have plenty, 7 kids, that if all you did was take care of your 7 kids and you just attended church, we'd be like, but you don't want to be useless for the kingdom of God. You want to have fruit. The cares of this world, it doesn't have to be sin. You follow me? Cares of this world will suck us up and spend our lives. And the question is, it'll affect our fruit. Got to take care of things, but cares of this world. Second thing, I just want to tell you the deceitfulness of riches. This is America. 1 Timothy 6:9. You've heard me say this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. I heard somebody the other day, they were talking and they go, and they thought they were talking biblically, and they said, well, the Jews don't have a problem with money. And the inference was, and we Christians shouldn't either. And so I know this is shocking to you. I sat there and I was like, and I had a tongue replacement because I bit it in half. And okay, some of you aren't following, but it is, the Bible never talks about riches well. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. I didn't say it's a sin to be rich. I'm just telling you, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Abraham and Job are one of the few exceptions. Most everybody else will be destroyed by it. Me, you, everybody. Look, we are way too materialistic in the United States of America, every single one of us, and I'm ashamed of it as a preacher. I am. The deceitfulness of riches. You know the American dream? You know what it really is biblically? The American nightmare. The American dream. Pursue! I'm sort of encouraged that it's super difficult for young people to buy a house. Hope you have to give up on the dream. Be poor and serve the Lord. Amen? You guys are like, I don't know about that. Let me see. I'll amen next week. I have to review it, my scriptures. Be poor and serve the Lord is better than rich and be distracted. Amen? Oh. All right, we're going to have a second sermon this morning. Look, God knows you need money. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let it distract you from what matters. Men, you should provide for your family. Absolutely. And I know in our day and age, many times it takes a man and a woman. That statement when we said men, I'm just telling you this. When the buck stops, if that family's not being provided for, right there, your family's not being provided for, right there, right there, right there, right there, all right? Get those big shoulders, right? And so, don't be dominated by it. Remember what we talked about? These are keys to fruitlessness. What will cause us to be fruitless? We're just distracted with riches, cares of this world. We fail in times of testing, shallow, just always emotional, up and down, up and down, up and down, the devil and failure. Finally, the seventh, pleasures of this life. I don't have verses. Fun. You know, my wife did tell me this the other day. She said, you know, we need to be more fun. And I said, honey, speak for yourself. And we need to maybe do some more fun things. I mean, I think I everything I do, I think is fun. I enjoy it. And so it was good. So Thursday night, 7:30, we're going to have a blast. All right? We are. That is a lot of fun, honey, a lot of fun. And so and she's there. I know she's there. And so that'll be so much fun. I'll have to rest on Friday and Saturday. Can't have a date night on Friday. You know what? God made this earth for us to enjoy. Do you know that? He didn't make this earth for us to be miserable. He didn't make you to be miserable. But don't make the pursuit of your life just pleasure. It doesn't have to be evil pleasure. You can waste your life. You know what I love about Grant? It's just so many things. And I'll also make sure I pop his bubble as well every once in a while. But he told me, you know, because I told him this. I said, Grant, I'm not going to tell you everything to do every single minute. You got to figure out how to manage your time because that's what's going to be in the mission field. And if you don't manage your time and you're not self-motivated, you won't make it in the mission field. So he told me that he said, you know, I found myself early on, I was just watching Netflix. Is Netflix evil? No, not necessarily. Are there evil things on Netflix? I'm sure there are. He got rid of Netflix. Every single one of you needs to get rid of Netflix. I'm not saying that. For Grant, he just wanted to eliminate it and make no provision for the flesh. So he's got the Disney Channel now. And but, you know, for me, Grant, when you told me that, I don't think you were telling to impress me, but it challenged me. what is in my life that I don't need that's distracting me from being fruitful? Grant's out there sweating for Jesus. He had a Bible study with a brand new family in Forest Park. 8:30 last Thursday night, and it was delightful. He comes back, and this is normal. He goes, Dad liked me. I don't know if the mother-in-law did. And so you know what? He's got another Bible study this week. It's if you watch too much Netflix, Grant, and the pleasures of this life, Netflix can have things that aren't evil. Are you consumed with Christ or consumed with pleasure? I'm going to quickly. Keys to fruitfulness, I'm going to give you these real quick. Honest and good heart. Is that shocking? Let's just look at verse 15, and I may spend more time on this next week. But that on the good ground. This is the ground that brought forth fruit. You want to reach people for Christ? You want to make a difference for the kingdom of God? I want to be verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring fruit with patience. I do want to highlight that. You bring fruit with patience. I do love this. Grant told me early in the summer, he goes, wow, getting Bible studies is really hard. Join the club, my friend. And it's really hard. You got to have patience. Got to keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. But it says this, key to fruitfulness is an honest and good heart. Now, to be clear, you cannot have an honest and good heart without Christ. If you are sitting here this morning and you think I'm preaching that you need to have an honest and good heart in order to go to heaven, no, you must be saved from your sins. You must be born again. You have to have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's the only way, and it results in good works. Good works don't get you to heaven, but in an honest and good heart, it's this. Farmers, do they just... We were driving by. We were out in the country. Oh, I think it was Brookville. So I'm driving to Brookville, man, and I'm like, I asked Deb, would you ever want to live out in something like this? You know, it's just like, and she said, no way. And I go, no way too. You know, it's like, maybe some of you want to get out in an old farm. I'm like, ain't, because I'm like, you know, with this, got to milk the cows and do the chickens. I don't know what all you do. All that stuff, right? Farmer's work is never done, is it? Always, always, always working. And what's he doing? He's always preparing, isn't he? You think, well, man, the harvest is done. You see him plowing the ground. I'm telling you this, in honest and good heart. What are you doing, Noah? What are you doing to prepare that old heart to be ready for fruit? See, that's the key. You got to be preparing that heart so that God just might use it. And so do I. What are you doing, Phoebe? To prepare that heart so that God might use you, so that it's got the right fertilizer, the right nitrogen, the right whatever else goes into the ground. You can just tell I've named everything I know about farming. I'm not a farmer in any way, shape, or form. But I will tell you this. The Bible tells us how we can prepare our hearts, how we can prepare our eyes, how we can prepare our minds that God would be pleased to use us. He wants to use clean dishes. Now, he will use a dirty dish, and I'm ashamed of that, but he'll use clean dishes so much better. See, it's not praising man for an honest and good heart. It's just this, they have prepared their hearts to be used for Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about his goodness. Are you fertilizing your heart spiritually? Are you watering your heart spiritually? Are you preparing it so that God just might give you an abundance of fruit? Here's the real question. Are you keeping his word? Are you keeping his word? I think I could chart sometimes. I could chart. I think it's so Bible. When I strive to walk with Christ, I see increased fruit. When I just, let's just say, let's not even deal with sin. Let's just say neglect, cares of this world and just laziness. When I see that, my fruit drops. I've told you this before. I feel like Moses sometimes. Remember when Joshua and Hur held up his arms and they were victorious? And then Moses' arms got tired and they would begin to lose the battle, and Joshua and Hur would raise his arms up and He would lose feeling in his hands, I guess. I don't know. But it's this. You prepare your heart, God will use you. With patience. With patience. Adoniram Judson, William Carey, over 7 years. There would not be a Hope Baptist Church pastored by Steve Hall today if we were over 7 years. I don't have that kind of patience. Those men, you read about them, and you can't read enough about them because you want to be like them. They were like the Luke 7 woman. Humble, faithful, and God used them with patience. How bad do we want fruit? How bad do we want to glorify God? I think the answer mostly for me is not that bad. 7 things. Only by God's grace can we overcome these. Are you fertilizing your heart? Are you walking with God? I'm looking in the mirror. I shouldn't expect fruit if I'm not. God's so good, not desperate. He'll still use us. Do you want to have a harvest that'll blow your mind? Walk with God. With patience. With patience. With patience. The title of the message was Causes of Being Fruitless, but just remember, the keys to fruitfulness, it's not that tough. Simple, but not easy. God doesn't make it complicated. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Father,